I'm excited this morning to be with you, what God has been doing. We left America a while ago. We've been on the road. We've been going from one place to another. And we've been seeing what God's doing, miracles after miracles, healings after healings, and lives changing. And I really love this part because one thing I understand is our God is a loving God. Amen. Our God is a God of grace. Our God is the God who cares for us, who cares every little bit about us, right? And that's the thing we need to be thinking on this morning. There are many things that can overwhelm us this morning. Many problems, many thoughts, many situations that we are dealing with right now. You know, I was reading about the incident of where Peter was walking on the water. And I said, you know, there's already an incident where Jesus quieted the sea. He looked at the sea and said, quiet. And all the waves became quiet. But in the case of Peter, he said, Peter, come. And Peter walked on the water. Why didn't Jesus quiet the waves? I mean, he can quiet the waves. He has done it before. He has quieted the waves. He said, okay, waves be quiet, and they became quiet. But this time he's walking on the waves and he's not quieting the waves. Are you with me, my church? Sometimes God wants us to focus on him. I know there are waves. I know we are walking on the water. We are walking on the supernatural way already. And now you're looking at the waves and you're going, why do I have waves? Don't you get that? He's just teaching you to be like him. He quieted the waves before, not because he was intimidated by the waves. He quieted the waves because he wanted them to have a quiet life. But now he's teaching Peter to be like him. Are you with me, my church? If you're seeing some waves in your life right now that seems like almost going to take you down, I want to remind you, put your eyes on Jesus this morning. He's just telling you, keep walking. I'm standing for you here. Keep walking. You're not going down. Keep walking. I'm going to make it. Keep walking. Come on, somebody. You Australians have to repent of this silence. This silence makes me very uncomfortable. I come from a noisy country. So the first day I arrived in Australia, and it was about 2 a.m. in the night, and I slept through, and I woke up around 11 o'clock. I came to have a breakfast, and the person whom I was staying with in Australia started to apologize to me and saying, sorry, John, our neighbor, you know, just got retired and he used to work from 6 a.m. till evening 6 p.m. and now he doesn't have a job. And that's why he's got this concrete breaking thing, you know, like that. What do you call it? The one, it goes jackhammer, whatever it is, you know. And he was doing a jackhammer just like 2 feet away from my bedroom. And I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. And I just slept through that. I woke up at 11 o'clock. I'm coming out. And he goes, did you hear that jackhammer? I said, I sleep on a running train which doesn't have a soundproof. Your trains are all fully proofed, you know, with you know, we sleep on trains that doesn't have a soundproof, you know. And it's like a rhythm for us that just puts us to sleep. Are you with me? A jackhammer can be a rhythm for me. I come from a very different culture, you know. And I think it was in Orange. It was so cold I think it was in 2014 in August or September or something like that. It was really cold at that time. And somebody asked me, how do you find Australia? I said, Australia is like a fridge. It's so cold and quiet. So silence makes me very uncomfortable. So I really need your moral support as I'm preaching. Okay, thank you. That really helps me. That helps me a lot. Okay, I need that support. I need you to cheer me as I'm preaching, okay? Yeah. And, And then I went to North Dakota for the first time. I saw snow. I've never seen snow before. You know, I come from a place, I live in India. We don't have winter. So our winter is 27 degrees. So guess what's our summer? 50 degrees! I was born like you people. I was white when I was born. The sun was too hot and then it just baked me too long. You know, I just started becoming brown every year and I ended up being black. Right? Thank you. That's what everyone says to me. You just look so handsome. People look at my son and they go, he's so cute. I'm like, you get it from your dad. Where else do you think he gets it from? So yeah, and I go to North Dakota and so cold, negative 35 degrees for the first time. I'm feeling that. I've not seen anything below 27 degrees, and all of a sudden I'm seeing negative. We don't have winter clothes. We just don't have winter clothes where I grew up. I mean, it was cotton shirt and we had another cotton shirt on top of it. That means it's winter. Okay? And I'm here wearing all these gloves and everything and full on. You know, just snow everywhere. And somebody asked me a few weeks later, "Sir, how do you find America?" I said, "Like a freezer." And I remember Australia and America as a fridge and freezer to me. But thank God I'm here right now. Good weather. It's just so awesome. I love your beaches. Yeah, I really love your beaches. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, you guys are blessed. I really want to tell you. Such a beautiful nation. Such a beautiful people. Sometimes you guys are coffee snobs, but that's okay. And some people are so particular about how you pronounce a thing. Trust me, you guys give me a lot of trouble. Trust me, you are troublemakers. I studied English in school, but my English is not good enough when I came to Australia. They said, you don't speak Aussie. I thought you guys spoke English. No, we speak Aussie. Okay. I get that now. So yeah, chill this morning, okay? And that was my message day before yesterday. I was preaching on how to chill in life, because you know God says rest. I'm going to take care of everything. Can I hear an amen for that? But anyway, you know, since you guys are giving me a love offering and you guys are going to bless me, I'm obliged to preach a sermon for you. Or else I can just get away telling you stories. Since there is an offering involved, cash involved, I want to be on my money. Right, I was meditating on the scripture, Joshua chapter 19, verse 47. Does this, like, you can do this? You can put this, I mean, if it's not too much, that's okay. If you find it hard, that just leave it, it's okay. No problem. People have a Bible. If they don't bring a Bible, we can just fine them $20 a head for not bringing a Bible. Coming to church and no Bible, you know. Joshua chapter 19, verse 47. I really love the scripture. Yeah, wish it will come off. In the name of Jesus, we pray right now. It's coming. It's coming. I feel the Holy Spirit is bringing it. He's bringing it right there, right there. Now, you just close your eyes and pray. Oh, there it is. There it is. I knew it's coming. Right? You know, this is even more beautiful. And can you get me on an NKJV version? Because that's what I read. If that's okay with you. Because the version goes like this. It says, the sons of Dan went beyond these, beyond their boundaries. And the borders of the children of Dan went beyond these. Everyone say, go beyond. Come on, everyone say, go beyond. Australia, I said, I need your support. Say, go beyond. Oh, love you, man. I love you, people. I really love you all. I love you all. Thank you. Thank you. And the borders of these children of Dan went beyond this, because the children of Dan went up to fight against the Lashim and took it. And they struck it with the edge of the sword and took possession of it and dwelt in it. They called Lashim Dan after the name of Dan, their father. I love the scripture. The borders of children of Dan went beyond this. God is calling us for something beyond. He's calling us from a glory to glory, strength to strength, wealth to wealth. He is talking about a progress. God is interested in your progress. God is interested. He's just not interested in life. He's interested in life in abundance. He wants you to have it fully. Can I hear an amen? He wants you to have all of it, not just some of it. I love this about God. Our God talks about a holistic life. Our God talks about fullness. Our God talks about every bit of it. Can I hear an amen? Our God does not talk about a wife. He also talks about a beautiful wife. He's just not talking about a wife. He's also talking about a wife who's so humble and sweet. He's not just talking about a wife. He's talking about a wife who can cook for you and bring you water. And when you wash your hand and give you a napkin in your hand. You know, he's talking about a package in full. Thank God. No. talking about everything. He's talking about the full package. He's talking about you're not missing out anything that God has planned for you. Every bit of it. You know, he's talking about your children coming in line. He's talking about your family being restored. He's talking about you have all of it. He's talking about Australia will have all of it. Can I hear an amen, my church? We're not just believing in some of it. God is saying all of it. He says, went beyond this. You know, the reason why I like the scripture, when I read the scripture, whenever Israel was defined, Israel is always defined from Dan to Beersheba. That's how they write. That's how they say, for an example, how do you define Australia? Like Queensland to Tasmania? Like you know, the north to the south? You know, that feel of just trying to, how to just say that? In India, we used to say this, Kashmir to Kanyakumari. That means Kanyakumari is the tip of India. Kashmir is the top of India. We try to do that. And when you see that, whenever the, you know, the chronicles, when it's written, you know, the history, when it's written, it says Dan to Beersheba. Beersheba is a place where Abraham made a covenant with God. He gave 7 lambs to God and he made a covenant with God. 7 means perfection. And it just meant a perfect sacrifice. That's what Beersheba meant. Beersheba means perfect sacrifice. Are you with me, my church? Perfect sacrifice. You know how Israel is defined? Israel is defined from the one who keeps on conquering to the basement or a foundation called a perfect sacrifice. Does that ring a bell in your head? That's what kingdom is defined as. Kingdom is defined from you to the cross. Can I hear an amen, my church? And I believe that. You know, I live in a country where only 10% of our whole population is reached by Jesus. You know, many don't know who Jesus is. You know how I see kingdom? I see kingdom like this. I see me and then I see the cross. And I know one thing. The distance that I'm going to go is the distance the message of God cross is going to go. Can I hear an amen? Are you with me, my church? That's exactly how Beersheba, Dan to Beersheba was defined. Dan is not a boundary. Dan is a group of people. Can I hear an amen? Who will conquer the land. Who will keep on growing. Who will keep on expanding. Who will keep on going beyond. Who will keep on pronouncing the name of the Lord. Who will keep on breaking the idols. Who will keep on breaking the idol worships. He will keep on working the witchcraft. Who will keep on breaking the spiritual stuff in the nation. And they will be expanding the name of Yahweh all around the place. And that's how you see Dan to Beersheba. Can I hear an amen, my church? I tell you, that is church today. That we are the one who's defining the extent the kingdom is going to go. You, every one of you. Every one of you. God wants to be glorified in your life. Every one of you. I believe you're chosen by God for the glory. The moment we realize it, that's enough. I tell you what, with God, God is not expecting us to be, you know, taking a sword and fighting. That the moment of realization, that you are God's glory. You are God's glory. Wherever you're standing, whatever you're doing, God wants to be glorified in your life. And that's how He's going to spread the kingdom. And that's how the kingdom is going to be defined. That's how the kingdom is going to, the extent of the kingdom is defined by the extent that we are going to go. Can I hear an amen? And that's how God wants you to have the fullest of glory. So when people meet you, they meet the glory. Come on, somebody get excited about it. You guys are confused, huh? You need a deliverance prayer? Oh, that's why. Come on. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord is saying this to me. Get excited. Get excited because I want to increase you. Get excited because I want to multiply you. Get excited because I want to do something that I will be glorified in your life. Can I hear an amen? You're just sitting there and thinking how good I am. I tell you something. If God has brought you thus far, He has a plan to glorify you. He has a plan to give you glory. Many a times we pray this prayer, Lord, I give all the glory, all the honor, all the stuff to you. And God goes, no, I give everything back to you. Now, some people are confused, right? Turn with me to the book of John. The book, the Gospel of John. Thank you, Jesus. Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 24. And NKJV again, thank you so much. John, chapter 17, verse 24. Do you know why do preachers have a watch? Do you know that? Just a consolation for all of you to know that we also look at the time. But just a consolation. Okay? But this means nothing to me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Come on, somebody. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. That they will behold my glory. He's not saying give back to me. They said hold it. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. He said, keep it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? First Corinthians chapter 2. Don't have to read it. Just take notes if you're taking notes. Just take it in your phone. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. He says, I speak this wisdom unto the matured, to whom this wisdom was given as a revelation of the glory that was from the beginning. The glory, it was for us. God planned the glory for us. Because in us, He gets glorified. Can I hear an amen? Through us, He does the stuff. God does not bypass us. God loves us. He wants to use us. He wants to be glorified through us. You know, sometimes we are just mortal beings who have no worth. But God loves us so much to an extent that He wants to do something through us. You know, the world will always look for the person who is fit. I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, you go to a hockey team or a football team or even to go and play in the choir. You know, I love music, but I can't play music. I'm just musically impaired or whatever it is I am, you know. I just can't. And whenever I see somebody play music, my jaws just drop. You know, I can't take the eyes of the girl who was playing violin and that person who was just playing a flute next to them. And I'm like, wow, I just can't do it. But then when you go to play music, the first thing they want to ask you is, can you play? And when you go to a soccer team, they ask you, do you know how to play soccer? When you go to play hockey, they ask you, do you know how to play hockey? Then I can train you. And that's how they take the people in. You know, with Jesus, you know how He makes a team? He makes a team with bunch of amateurs, with bunch of idiots, for bunch of fools, a bunch that does not even, you know, fall in line with what He's going to do. And you look at that and you go, oh my God, how am I going to do that? And God says, that's why I chose you. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. Because the Bible clearly says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it clearly says that I did not choose you. I mean, you did. This was in John chapter 15. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And when you see 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I chose the foolish things of the world. Come on, somebody. He chose simple people like us. And we'll be like, how am I going to be good enough? You don't get that. He said, I chose the foolish things of this world to shame the world. Because that's how He's going to make the cross manifest. That's how he's going to make the sonship manifest. Can I hear an amen? And you're sitting there and thinking, am I good enough? You know, in Psalm 119, it says, the entrance of the word gives me light. And it gives me understanding to the simple. Can I hear an amen, my church? How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? You know, if I tell you my story, you'll be surprised. I was a drug addict. I was a drug addict for about 7 long years. And what happened in my life was I took 39 pills of ecstasy at one point. And I killed both of my kidneys. My kidneys stopped working because of overdosing. You know, I was almost unconscious for 3 days. And when I woke up, about 2.5 days, when I woke up, that's when they started telling me the story of Jesus. My dad is a pastor. And I was so messed up. And I'm like standing there. And I'm feeling even more defeated. I'm standing even more worse. Because I'm like, I was already a failure, but now I also obtained the shame in front of everyone, you know, by overdosing and people coming and seeing me in the hospital. And I'm just in a miserable place in my life. And I hear the Lord tell me, son, I want to use you. You know, the best part about God, I really love this about God. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about all the curses that we're going to have if you don't obey God. I don't know how many of you can obey God. I'm one of those who did not obey God. You know, you saw me in my Bible college, what I did. Can you imagine the Bible college? I was so notorious. And I rejoiced over robbing a bell this morning. How bad is that? That's me. Such an imperfect guy. But I still love that. The reason why I'm saying this to you is, and such an imperfect guy, a lawless guy, a guy who did not fit in, a guy who was not good enough. And when you read Deuteronomy, it just talks about all the curses you'll have when you start falling off the law. And Jesus bought us, those who are cursed, those who are not good enough, those who are wasted. And Jesus said, I'm going to buy you. I'm going to buy you with my blood and I'm going to give you a value. Can I hear an amen, my church? I'm going to make you my own. I'm going to add value to your life, a life that looks so awkward, a life that does not look great. I'm going to give value to this life. Can I hear an amen, my church? You know, you got to just know that God, you love me so much. And if you love me so much, you're not going to leave me halfway. Can I hear an amen, my church? Because he did not pray half price to buy you. He prayed full price for you. He wants to see the full value of you. He wants to see himself in you. He wants to see you being glorified. Can I hear an amen, my church? Come on, give me. Hallelujah. Church. I feel it this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is stirring something inside of me. He's stirring something inside of you. And he's just telling you, you know what? Don't believe in the lie of the devil. Don't believe in being a mediocre. Don't believe in him saying that you can't do it again. Don't believe in him telling that maybe that was once a lack. Don't believe him saying that he's mentioning your age. Something we got to get out of it. Yesterday night I was preaching about Caleb. And Caleb said, if I'm alive, I can do it. That's the word I really love. He said, I was 45 when God spoke this to me, but now I'm 85 if I am alive. That's all he said. Are you with me, my church? He said, if I'm alive, I'm going to conquer that. He did not say if I'm strong. He said, if I'm alive. Come on, somebody. How beautiful is that word? If I am alive, that means what? If I'm breathing, I'm going to have it. Come on, somebody, people, check yourself. Are you breathing? You're breathing. You're breathing, you're going to have it. You're breathing, you're going to have it. Can I hear an amen, my church? If you're breathing, you're going to take over. If you're breathing, you're going to conquer. If you're breathing, you're going to inherit. Even a dead Lazarus was in there, so it doesn't mean you got to be just breathing. Wow, something is happening in the Australian churches. People say amen. Wow, that's the beginning of revival. Hallelujah. 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 Beautiful. I feel it in my spirit. God is giving his word. You know what? You're going to go beyond this. God's going to stretch out of Narendra. You guys are going to go beyond this. Narendra is going to have a spark of revival. You guys are going to just take it forward. You know, this fiber is going to keep on stretching. It's going to stretch on to your neighborhoods. It's going to stretch on from the cities next to you. God is giving this word. You're going to branch out. Your branches will overflow your walls. Can I hear an amen, my church? It's going to be in your wealth. It's going to be in your spirituality. Can I hear an amen, my church? God is talking to you about you're going to stretch, man. You're going to have even better life. You're going to have even greater things coming. The greater things are yet to come. Just be excited. You know what? What excites God? The expectation. There were so many people who have been waiting for the miracle, but there was one woman who decided, I'm going to touch Jesus. You know, there are many times we wait for the touch from God, but do you know we can touch Jesus? Our faith can touch Jesus. Our faith can shake his throne. Our faith can move him. Whether it moves mountain or not, my God is moved by faith. Come on, somebody. Wow. Say hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Say hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Every time you hear a word hit you, say hallelujah. Don't wait for somebody next to you. Just say hallelujah. Don't be shy. Say hallelujah. Say amen. You know, the Bible says you can't grieve the Holy Spirit. Does the Bible say that or not? When you sin, when you do bad things, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. But can I ask you this question? If you can grieve the Holy Spirit, do you think you can also excite the Holy Spirit? See the other side of it. That side is exciting. But this side is so grieving, you know. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You're like conscious, oh my God, how am I going to grieve the Holy Spirit? But the flip side of the verse is, excite me. And you go, share the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, give me some more. Come on, Holy Spirit, I'm excited for the Word. Can I hear an amen? I feel this, you know. You know, this Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. You don't have to turn that, but I'm just going to say the scripture to you. It says, one who becomes wild, let him become more wild. One is sinning, let him sin more. And he says, one who becomes holy, let him become more holy. You know, he's talking about a journey. If you have taken this path, you're going to keep on going in this path. If you're going to go on this path, you're going to go on this path. If you're going to go on this path, you're going to go on this path. It's talking about the progress of your path. You know, the best way to stay out of sin is to be excited in God. You know when sin creeps in? Sin creeps in when we are tired. Sin creeps in when we are frustrated. Sin creeps in when we need a substitute than God. Sin creeps in when we start seeking comfort in other things, not in God. Sin creeps in when we feel low. Sin creeps in when we think, I can do something to make myself feel better. Sin was designed by devil to give a substitute. No, we don't need substitute. We have the real one. Can I hear an amen, my church? When we are excited for God, sin has no time. We don't have time for sin. Sin has nothing to do with us. And so be excited all the time. Be excited. God, I'm going to be excited for you. I'm going to be excited for what you're going to do through me. I don't know what's happening in my life right now, but I know for sure you are making a lot of sense in my life right now. You know, whenever you see your life is challenging, that's the point you're going to see the glory. Whenever you see your life is almost bringing you to a place like, what am I going to do? That means God's about to do something. Amen. You know, we saw this verse, you know, Joshua chapter 19, verse 47. We read that about the children of Dan go beyond this. You know, in the life of David, David was hesitant to go beyond. David defeated Goliath, and then David got married to Saul's daughter. He became the son-in-law of the villain. Wow. And now he decided, okay, I'm going to stay in the palace. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do this. And suddenly Saul becomes angry with David. And suddenly things start changing. And now Jonathan is telling a word. He said, Jonathan says to him, I'm going to launch an arrow. If the arrow goes beyond you, I want you to know the situation is beyond my hand. Whenever we see a situation beyond our hand, we freak out. We're like, what am I going to do now? No, that's the moment God is just telling you, you've just activated your destiny. When you can leap into the zone of unknown. When you can step into that zone that is beyond your control. When you can step into that place where you freak out, that is good. Freaking out is good because you're going to get back to God and God's going to tell you it's going to be all right. I'm with you. Can I hear an amen, my church? You know, the other day I took my son to McDonald's. And you know the play area they have in McDonald's? I told my son, okay, you go and play. But he was so afraid to climb up after one level. But do you know the McDonald's play area is very safe? You know, they have designed in such a way your children cannot fall down. You know, and then at one point, there was another boy came in. And he was a little older than my son, a year older than my son. And he started climbing up. My son started getting excited. I asked that boy, can you teach my son? He said, yeah. And then he started teaching my son. My son was just focused on him, not the height. Are you with me, my church? And he started climbing high and high and high and high and high. Guess what? He reached a height almost slightly lesser than this roof. And then he's walking on a net after that. It's a net. He can't fall down. It's a net. So high. And he started walking on that net. Guess what? As a father, I was so excited for him because he's walking on a safe place, but he's having the topmost fun he can have. He's breaking fear. Can I hear an amen for that? That's exactly how God feels when you breach that limitation of fear. He wants you to have more fun. God is not a fun killer. He just wants you to have the next level. And that's why sometimes He kills at this level so that you can walk into the next level. Sometimes you have to make this level dry so that you will walk into the next level. Sometimes He brings you to a place of challenge and you're like, God, why are you challenging me? He says, no, I'm not challenging you. I'm just stretching you. I'm just making you better. I'm just giving you even greater things. Can I hear an amen, my church? Wow, I feel it. I feel it. And when I saw my son climbing all the way up and having fun, and I told my son, go again, go again, go again. Wow. That's what God's doing to us. He wants us to have even greater fun. Isn't that beautiful, church? He wants us to have even greater blessing. He wants us to explore even greater life. He wants us to have all of it. I really love that part about God. Our God is a good God. Can I hear an amen? And the fear will always limit. And the problem with religion is, religion, fear breeds religion. And fear starts putting religion in such a way that it looks wisdom also. You know, many times religion looks like wisdom. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read that one scripture for you. Colossians chapter 2 verse 23. Colossians chapter 2 verse 23. I like this. This is awesome. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility. Do you read that? Do you read that with me? These indeed have an appearance of wisdom. You know, like Peter coming and telling Jesus, oh Jesus, you should not go to the cross. Of course, it looks like love and wisdom. And Jesus said, get away, Satan. Are you with me, my church? Sometimes love can be a limitation. Especially earthly love. Are you with me, my church? You know, when I started being, you know, my wife was not preaching before. She was a missionary. She was in India for 5 years. She worked with women, you know, who've been into prostitution and stuff like that. She restored their life and children, and that woman, she worked with them for a long time. And I pulled her up and said, okay, now you're going to preach. My wife went, I don't know how to preach. I said, go on, preach, you can preach it. And she started preaching. And after a while, you know what? The first one, when she was preaching, I keep on encouraging her. And after that, I started telling her the flaws. Which is something we don't like it. Guess what? Sometimes when the relationship just keeps on encouraging you, that's not good. You need a relationship that is real. Can I hear an amen, my church? Because sometimes we want Peters in our life. Peter who says, Jesus, you should not go to cross. No. You need the woman with the alabaster jar who will just break everything on your feet and say, you got to go to the cross. Come on, somebody. Somebody who will teach you and say, no, you got to expand. Somebody who says, no, you got to do this. You need somebody who will put you into that place where you're afraid. You need an encourager who will encourage you to walk in a walk that intimidates you. And you're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step into it. I know God's got this. Can I hear an amen? I'm not old. God still has a destiny for me. If I'm breathing, I've got a destiny. If I'm breathing, God has something for me. Can I hear an amen, my church? But what religion does is, you know what Saul is doing? Saul is going and fasting instead of fighting. Are you with me? You know, God wants you to fast. It's not, I'm not saying He doesn't want you to fast, but I'm telling you, but don't fast out of fear. Fast out of faith. Don't pray out of fear. Pray out of faith. He's going and sitting in a place where he's fasting and he's saying, I'm not going for fight. Jonathan took his armor bearer, just two of us. He said, come, let's two of us go. Let's two of us do something. Can I hear an amen, my church? Sometimes religion does that to you. Religion intimidates you. Religion controls you. Religion puts you on a place of fear. But indeed, they have an appearance of a self-imposed religion. Wisdom in self-imposed religion. False humility, neglect of the body, but are of value against the indulgence of flesh. Can I hear an amen, my church? Many times we try to serve God with our flesh. Many times we want to seek God with our flesh. No. If you want to do something for God, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes we want to see how good I am. No, God is saying, I don't want you to know how good you are. I want you to know how powerful is my spirit. I want you to embrace my spirit and start doing things in my spirit. You know, when we get burnt out, I was reading about Moses. You know, Moses on the burning bush. If you see that clearly, the bush was not consumed. Sometimes we try to do something for God, but we get consumed into it. And you're like, no, I'm not going to be consumed into it. It is the fire that makes me do stuff. And I'm going to be on the fire. I'm going to be on the spirit edge. Can I hear an amen, my church? Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now we're going to go to the second sermon that I prepared for you. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 23. This is one of my favorite parts. I feel like saying this again. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22 onwards. We're going to go 1, 2, 3 after that. 22. So, just bring the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22 to 26 I need. If you can go one verse at a time, it'll be awesome. I'm going to lead you into something very beautiful here. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Okay, that's beautiful. Here's a story. How many of you like stories? You all like stories, right? Yeah. How many of you want to hear the story of how I married my wife? Yeah, that's a beautiful story, right? Yeah, it's a beautiful story. It is a beautiful story. I had a prophecy in the year 2014 that I'll marry a blonde girl. And I'm like, blonde girl? That's quite a stretch, Lord. You know, that's not quite a stretch. That's a lot of a stretch. Because me, I was 28 by then. I don't know how to connect. I still don't know how to flirt with a blonde girl. I mean, if it's my girl from my country, I know the culture, I know I can do it. You know, flirting is a very important thing in life. You know, that's the confidence of a man. Now, God is asking me to go and marry a woman where my confidence is utterly crushed. Where the macho that I have is no more valid. And I'm like, God, how am I going to marry a blonde girl? How am I going to do this? Sometimes God gives you a stretch, isn't it? Yeah, but that was a prophecy. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story as you're going to hear my sermon. So be keen. It's going to come in parts. This is an interesting story too. And this story relates with my story. Then he came to Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to him. And begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by hand. You're going to see the story with me, okay? We're all going to go into the story today. He came to Bethsaida, okay? Even before Jesus came to Bethsaida, I believe his fame came to Bethsaida. His name and great things he did came to Bethsaida. You guys live in a small town, but you don't live in a small town like I do. Especially in the Eastern culture, we small town people know every bit of you. Everyone in the town knows about the allergy you have. You know, if they were just detailed, they just know what you cook this breakfast. Everyone in the town knows. So talking about an Eastern culture, even before Jesus came, the stories came about Jesus. That Jesus have healed this, Jesus have done that, Jesus have done this, you know. And Jesus is in Bethsaida. Now, they brought a blind man to Jesus. Everyone say, blind man. Do you think it's you? No, I don't think so. It's not you. It's me, maybe. And what they did was, they begged him to touch him. You know, do you see this context of begging? How many of you have been or lived in India or Middle East or any Eastern lifestyle that you've been there, stayed there for 10, 15 days? Put your hands up. Okay, you understand what I'm going to talk to you right now. You know what? The word begged, if you translate it properly to a Western person, I would use the word, they pushed Jesus to heal him. Because we Asians do that. You know the reason why? We are very good with business. We are pushy. We are just pushy. We'll just push our way in. Have you ever seen anybody break a queue in the Western nation? It will be an Asian or an Indian.
We're just naturally pushy. That's our culture.
After marrying a blondie, things changed with me, but I still struggle with it. You know, I'm going to break the line. My wife goes, honey, there is a huge queue. Come on, stand here. I'm like, okay.
But we are pushy. We are naturally pushy. That's what we are. And they brought this man to Jesus. Guess what? They did not beg to Jesus. They pushed Jesus.
You know, sometimes we come to God with our own agendas. And we say, we have heard about Jesus. We have heard that Jesus can do a miracle. How many of you pre-assume your miracle? How many of you start knowing, saying, God, this is how I want my miracle to be? Are you with me, my church? How many of us come to God and say, God, I want a prophecy? How many of you come to church deciding that I want the word, this particular word today? Which is good. Which is good. But I want you to know, sometimes God wants to talk to us not what we want, but what we need. Can I hear an amen, my church? Sometimes we come to service and say, God, you just give me what I want. God says, no, I'm going to give you what you need. Because what I'm going to give you, what you need, is going to take you even greater, even into a greater place. Can I hear an amen, my church? And they begged him to touch him. Are you with me, my church? So they brought the blind man. They had an agenda. Who wants to be a blind man with me? You like to be a blind man? Come with me. No. Who likes to be a volunteer? Somebody jump out. Be my volunteer. Come on. Okay. Now you got to close your eyes because you're a blind man. Okay. You're not opening your eyes. You got to act blind. Okay. We're going to have a game with you now. No, don't open your eyes. Tell me which side are you facing. Pulpit or backside?
Facing the back.
God, you're not blind. I got to make you more blind.
Oh, God.
Stand now.
The side.
Yeah. Now I'm going to make you fall down and I'm going to tell people you're slain in the spirit.
I can't fall down.
No, because I can turn you around one more time and then you'll fall down by yourself and I can blame it on the Holy Spirit. Oh, is that okay? That'll make me look like a powerful preacher. Please do that for me. I'll give you $20.
Fall down.
So, the blind man. Okay, you can open your eyes. So, they brought the blind man to Jesus. They brought the blind man with an agenda. Sometimes we come to Jesus, we have an agenda. Because we have heard about Jesus. We know what all Jesus can do. Now, we don't want Jesus to do what he wants to do in our life. We want Jesus to do what we want Jesus to do in our life.
Yeah.
Are you with me? And now, we are pushy about it. Take your hands with me. And we get very pushy about it. And we say, Jesus, touch the blind man. Jesus goes, no. And he said, no. You touch and you heal the blind man. Jesus says, no. And you're like, we know when you touch people get healed. You know, sometimes we come to God and say, God, you just do this today, Lord. You just do this for me today, Lord. Lord, you just do this for me today, Lord. You know what? I fasted 21 days before I married my wife because I was in love with another girl. And I fasted 21 days so that her father will say yes to me. Guess sometimes we do stuff like that in prayer, right? And not just you, me too. In 2014, I was in love with a girl for 3.5 years at that time. Her father did not like me at all. Her father hated me. You know? And I prayed 21 days fasting. I said, God, I want you to change the heart of a father. You know what the verse I used there? I used the verse in Proverbs that says you can turn the hearts of the kings like you turn, you know, waters. I said, God, if you can turn the rivers, you can turn his heart, Lord. You know, I was encouraging Jesus. Sometimes we do that in prayer, like, God, you can do it, Lord. Lord, I know you can do it, Lord. Oh, yeah. You're just being pushy. You're just being very Asian. Gotta repent. And now they brought the blind man to Jesus and said, come on, Jesus, touch him. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to do something else. He said, I'm going to take the blind man by hand. Can you see this? Read that verse with me. So he took the blind man. Everyone say, he took the blind man and led him out of the town. Wow. Now, you're going to close your eyes, okay? You're going to follow me, okay? Come on, let's walk. You're not opening your eyes at all. You're not opening your eyes, I told you. Be there. You're not opening your eyes. Isn't that scary?
A little bit.
Yeah. Because you don't know where I'm standing.
Yeah.
What Jesus is doing to him. Jesus is taking this man's hand and taking him out of the town. Guess why? Because a blind man can open his eyes now.
I did.
Yeah. You know, the blind man is so good at knowing the town. I don't know whether you have a blind friend. I had a blind friend. I used to go and sit with them. You know, we had a blind school in my town, so I used to play with them every evening. So I had some blind friends who were really better than me. You know, they're just good. They just know everything in the town. They just know. I try to play pranks with them. No, you can't play pranks with them. They just know the town so well. They, wherever you take them, they just know how to go and how to come back. Are you with me, my church? But now what is Jesus doing? Jesus is taking this man out of the town. Out of his familiar ground. Out of the place that he's used to. Come on, church. When you want to really follow Jesus, sometimes he takes you out of that ground that you're so familiar with. Can I hear an amen, my church? Can I hear an amen, my church? And he took this blind man out of the town. And I've been thinking about the scripture, what it did to the blind man. He would have been like, either you heal me or you leave me. But don't take me out of the town, because that is so scary than being blind. Because even though I'm blind, I know how to manage. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. Even though I'm blind, I know how to manage. Are you with me, my church? Sometimes we just know how to manage our life. We didn't have a breakthrough. We haven't seen everything that God has for us. But we know how to manage our life. Are you with me, my church? But God is asking you to step out of the place where you can manage into a place of faith, into a place of expansion, into a place where things are not familiar. Can I hear an amen? And he takes this man by hand and he takes him out of the, you know, the town. I don't know, if I was the blind man, I would tell this to Jesus. Jesus, either you heal me here or you leave me. But just don't take me out of the town. Because I'm not used to it. I can at least manage my life. You know, this is where the fear kicks in. Many a times God wants to do something big in our life, but fear stops us from doing it. God wants to do something massive in our life, but fear stops us. I told you, right? The year of 2014, and 21 days I fasted, and God brought that man, you know, the girlfriend's father. He came and he said, okay, I'll agree for the wedding. How beautiful is that? I was so excited. I thought my prayers were answered. Exactly 10 days before my engagement. In India, we'll have a big engagement party. He called and said, no, I'm calling it off. But this time I felt my spirit, I gotta let it go. I said, God, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. And I let it go. And after that, I didn't want to stay home. I decided I'm going to go on preaching. Because if I stay home, I'm going to sitting there and picking on my wounds. You know, sometimes we're sitting there just picking on our wounds. And we're not able to move on. No, you got to move on. That one thing I do, I move forward. If this does not work, my God has something else for me to work out. If this is not going to go right, God has something else greater for me. I'm not going to be sitting there whining about what went wrong. I'm not going to sit there and cry about what did not work out in my life. I said, I'm going to move on. Somebody say, move on. Come on, Aussies, give me good response. Say one more time, move on. You know, when you speak something, it happens. Say, move on. Move forward. Move beyond. Come on, give me some energy, man. You people, so unfair. We'll take two offerings, I tell you. Huh? One more time. All of us are going to say, move beyond. Okay? One, two, three.
Move beyond.
Okay, one more time. One, two, three.
Move beyond.
You guys are like, move beyond. Move beyond. Come on,
give me some energy. Move beyond. You Aussies, huh? I need to break something in you. You all come in line. Okay? I'm not going to pray for you with a hand. I'm going to pray for you with a stick. Until you scream at the top of your voice. And say, move beyond. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We need that. We need that. We need that in our spirit. We're not going to be intimidated by anything. Yeah. Guess what? You guys are going to prophesy on the street. You guys are going to prophesy in the supermarket. Sometimes you got to just stand up and start preaching in the supermarket. You got to L. You got to say, Jesus is the Lord. And everyone goes, oh my God, what's happening in Macker's? And they're like, I'm preaching. Just listen to me. You got to listen to me. You have no choice. Man, we need to get to the point where we step up in the airplane and preach. We step up in the airports and preach. It's okay. You know, there is people who are preaching hatred. There are people who are preaching about killing people. And they are preaching outrightly. Us, we are the people of love. Sometimes God says, be violent in love. He's not asking us to be violent in hatred. He's saying be violent in love. We need to have that courage. Can I hear amen, my church? Amen. We need to gain that courage to say what we need to say. In love. It's like God loves you, brother. God wants to have you. God is interested in you. God died for you. We need to have the courage to say it out. Can I hear amen? Now tell me, move beyond.
Move beyond.
I like that response. I like that. And he took this man by hand and he says, you know what? We're going to go out of town. We're going to go out of town. And I said to God, God, I'm going to move on. And I was in Australia. I got this prophecy. The girl you're going to marry has a blonde head. I received it. I said, God, if you interrupted my plan, you have something greater for me. If you came into my life, you have something greater for me. You did not take away the things I love. I really loved. And I thought, why did God do this to me? God said, no, because I have something greater for you. Sometimes you're loving the wrong thing. You're loving because of your fear. You want something because you think you won't get it out any other way and you're so desperate to have it. No, when you release something in the hands of God, He's going to give you much greater and much better and much... Oh my God, I can't explain how good it is. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Do you want to have it? Do you feel like in the spirit, I think it's time for me to move out with God. It is time for me to just walk with God and step out in faith. I feel it in my spirit. God is telling me that I got to do something. I'm going to hold on to God. I'm going to step into that unknown, the unfamiliar ground. And because my God has something great for me, sometimes we live by manual. You know, we live by what we have studied. We live by what we have known. We live by what our experiences is. We live by what we have heard. We live by what the people say. No, no. Sometimes you got to tear off the manual and throw it off and say, God, you take me into the unfamiliar ground because nothing is unfamiliar to you. Come on, somebody, put your hands together and give the best to the Lord today. He took this blind man by hand and took him out of the city. I love this part. Breaking cultures. Breaking our mindsets. Breaking our familiar stuff. Breaking those things that has been intimidating us. Breaking that fear and limitation. When He walks you, He always takes your hand. I love that about God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
He takes your hand. God's not just telling you go. He's saying, I'm coming with you. Even though you walk through the valley of death, I'm with you. Come on, somebody. Even though Joseph was in Egypt, when so many things was going wrong, God was with Joseph in Egypt. No matter what's happening with you right now, God is with you. Somebody get excited for this word. He is with you. He's not leaving you. He is with you. Even in the toughest point of your life, He is with you.
Yes.
Amen. Give me a five. Give me a five. Give me a... Hallelujah. And that's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough, I tell you. That's a breakthrough. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Break that shame. Break that fear. Step out and say, God, I'm going to do it. He took his hand and brought him out. I love this part. And when he had spit on his eyes, not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do at all. But when you see this culturally, in the Eastern culture during that time, they used to humiliate people with body dysfunctions. When somebody cannot walk properly or somebody had a defection in the body, what they will do is they will humiliate them. That's a bad thing. You would have seen the story of how children went behind Elijah and mocked Elijah for his head. You know, mockery was just a part of their culture. And when somebody spits on your face, you don't know whether this person is doing it in good manner or a bad manner. You know, many a times, we are not able to follow God all through because we are afraid of getting ashamed. We are afraid of what if I fail. We are afraid of, I want to save my face. Many of us want, you know, many times we are not able to take Christianity beyond our borders is because we want to save our face. To our neighbors, because we want to save our face. Like, how am I going to go tell my neighbor that Jesus is the Lord? You know, I know it, but I'm going to keep quiet about it. If you know it's truth, speak it. Can I hear an amen? Because we want to save our face. Many times we are intimidated because we want to save our face. But now Jesus is spitting on his face. It's a culture. God is breaking some culture in him. The fear of culture. The insult of culture. Many a times we don't do certain things because the culture can insult you. It is not a true insult at all. But it's culturally, it can be an insult. Can I hear an amen, my church? You know, I come from a culture where men always stay on the top and women are on the bottom. You know, women have to serve. Women, you know, women have to bring your shoes and put your shoes. You know, women have to give you food. Women have to give you water. Women have to take care of you. You know, what was the best thing God taught me? To break that culture. You know, when my wife was pregnant, I would bring a shoe to her. Not she bring a... No. You got to see. But culturally, you see, it's an insult. Aussies, you need to break that. You know, if you want to see revival, you need to break certain cultural insults that you think it's an insult. It is not an insult. Come on, somebody. You got to open your eyes to see that. No, I'm going to take God culture in me. Because many a times we are limited because it is a cultural insult. Or in my culture, it's an insult. In my culture, oh, that's not right. In my culture, people will not take it right. No. You are so worried about your face. No. Sometimes you got to lose your face to have the glory. Put your hands together, my church. That's a point. Sometimes you got to be so daring enough to lose your face. Sometimes you got to be daring enough to fail. Many times the fear of failure will stop you from trying. Many times the fear of failure will always keep you stuck to your seats forever. Because you're just waiting for that perfect moment. No, you got to just step out. And if you fail, that's okay because at least you tried. Can I hear an amen, my church? We need to step into that, my church. I feel my spirit tonight. God is telling me you got to break something tonight. Especially the cultural fear. The cultural insults. The cultural stuff. God is saying, I want to break it, my church. Because I want to establish a kingdom culture into the church. I want to establish a kingdom culture in this nation, in this city. Can I hear an amen? Come on, somebody say amen. Good. Come on, give the best to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's spitting on his face that very moment. You know, it's a leap of faith with God all the time. You're like, God, will I be insulted? You know, when I married my wife, God told me, tell your wife to cancel all her funds from America. My wife used to get $800 at that time. $800 or $600. How much was it? $800 a month to survive in India. She was a missionary, so she gets the support of $800 to survive in India. So here I am telling my wife, honey, God is telling me that you need to call off that supports. And she said, why? Because God is asking me to step into a realm. We are just married. See this. To step into a realm where we will walk by faith. He said, what's wrong in having a support? I said, it's good to have a support. But you've been in support for a long time. Now it is time for you to be out of support to understand how God provides. Because sometimes the support will limit you. Because you can't think anything beyond that. Because that is your supplication. And you're limited to that supplication. You're not able to step out of it. Trust me, it was a point of fear for me. Because now I know God will provide for me, but now how will God will provide for a blonde head? You know, because I'm Indian, people will have a little bit of self-pity on me. I know God gives me, but sometimes when people see me from India, they will be more kind to me. Because I come from a poor country. When they see me with a white girl, they might think I'm very rich. Are you with me? It happens in India. It happens in India. When I go to preach on a church, they won't give me a love offering because they just think I'm the white missionary, I get money from America. And I'm stepping into that zone that is opposite. Can I hear an amen, my church? I'm stepping into that zone of faith. I'm stepping into this place where I'm thinking, no, I'm going to do this. And I'm taking my wife. The biggest fear of was, will I fail? Because if I fail, I'm going to make my wife also fail with me. Are you with me, my church? Guess what? We never failed and God never let us fail. Can I hear an amen, my church? That day we started that journey. That day we started the journey. This time, we left the last week of October, we left America. When we left America, we had a ticket from America to India and back from India to America. That's all our ticket was. And we had some American dollars that we saved in the past 6 months. My wife worked for 6 months and she saved money. We took that money, we came to India, we bought a motorcycle for a pastor. And then we blessed a couple of ministries in India. Then we started our ministry in India. When we came to India, Amanda said, honey, what are we going to keep for ourselves? I said, we're going to go. God's going to take care of it. Are you with me, my church? Guess what? The day before I landed in India, it took me 33 hours to travel from America to come to India. It is about a day journey. In that meanwhile, a man came to my dad and gave 77,000 Indian rupees. That is $1,750 to my dad. And he's a truck driver. In India. Can I hear an amen? And he gave and told us, and he said, God spoke to me clearly to give this to your son. Are you with me, my church? Sometimes we need to step out into the radical. Step out to face the fear. Step out to face what it would look like an insult. No, I will not be insulted if I have faith. I will not be ashamed if I have faith. Can I hear an amen, my church? And I step into this zone right now. And I saw the 77,000 in my hand. I have already booked a ticket for 8 cities in India. Already. I told my sister, book my flight, I'll come and pay for you. Guess what? The day I landed in India, I got the cash in my hand. I called my sister and said, here it is. I'm sending you the cash. My ticket was paid. I went around ministering in India, about 8 cities. Guess what? In India, this was in India, we had so many prophetic fulfillments in the past. So they all came to meet me here and there, wherever the nearest city I was in. They came and blessed me back and said, God blessed us and we want to bless you back. I got $2,600 back by the end of November. Okay? Now this time, I decided we're going to build a church. We went to a small little village. We saw this village and we said, we're going to build a church in this village. And how much we had in our hand? Nothing. And with this $2,600, we bought another motorcycle for another pastor. 2 motorcycles in 2 months. Are you with me, my church? And we bought a motorcycle for this pastor. And again, we blessed 7 other churches for the children ministry. And here we are. We are starting again new in the month of December. By the mid of December, God gave us enough money to book our flight to Malaysia. So we came to Malaysia in January and we ministered all over Malaysia. By the half of our ministry in Malaysia, God gave us enough money to book our flight to Australia. Are you with me? That's how we enter Perth. 10 days of ministry in Perth, we had enough money to book our flight from Perth to back to India. Guess what? In the meanwhile, God blessed us enough. We got 80% of the money to build a church there in India. And what we need is just a little more, just a 20% more. I know God's going to bring it. But the beautiful part is, we were able to bless 2 more pastors with a motorcycle in this meanwhile. You know, we started with nothing. 4 motorcycles and a church. I'm talking about a budget of $28,000. Can I hear an amen, my church? You know, no. Sometimes the fear is, will I fail? The fear is, will I drop down? The fear is, will this be worse? The fear is, how is this going to end? No. Don't start thinking about what's going to happen to you. Start thinking about what is going to happen through me. What God is going to do through me when I step out in faith. Can I hear an amen, my church? He spit on his face. For a moment, if I was that blind man, I would have been going, God, I thought Jesus is a good God. You're also doing the same thing to me. You know, have you ever been on that place where you felt like God is unfair to you? You've been on a place where you want to back off from God. You know, yesterday the pastor was telling about a man's story who was in Griffith. You know, as I started preaching, the Spirit of the Lord told me, stop and go and prophesy on that man. As soon as I started preaching, I stopped. I went and prophesied on that person. And God told me, God showed me a picture of him going for a medical procedure. And God is going to go with him to the theater. And he's going to fix him in the theater. And he said, you're going to come back. Your age is going to be renewed. And I'm prophesying all of these things. And I came back. And after the service, this man walked up to me and said, you don't know how I came to the service today. I was so frustrated with God. And I wanted to tell God, God, I'm giving up on you. But today you started prophesying everything that's happening in my life. Guess what? There are many times when it looks like God is spitting on our face. It looks like God has given up on us. It looks like, God, why are you doing this to me? That is the moment of change. That is the moment of miracle. That is the moment that God is stretching you into something greater. That is the moment that God is bringing His plan into your life. That is the moment that God is doing something amazing that you have not seen before. Put your hands together and say, God, I'm not giving up on you. Because you never give up on me. Because you never give up on me. Can I hear an amen in my church? And spit on his face. And a beautiful part. I'm going to finish it right here. And put his hands on him. He said to him, if he saw anything. Next verse, brother. Next verse. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Can I hear an amen, my church? Can I hear an amen, my church? I'm going to really take you deeper here. First time he saw people like trees. You know, when we have a partial revelation of God, we care only about us. We can't see others with emotions. That's when we are people who are Christians but still hurting people. Because we don't see others clearly. We always see us before we see others. No, you need to see others clearly too. We see people like trees with no emotions. I was talking to somebody yesterday afternoon about how, you know, feeding the 5,000. The disciples looked at Jesus and said, send them away. 5,000 hungry people. But what did they say? Send them away. And my question is, what are you going to do? No, I'm going to stick with Jesus because Jesus is going to bless me, give me food somehow. But what about the 5,000? I don't know about the 5,000. Why? Because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is obliged to bless me. But they are not yet disciples yet. They are not even following Jesus yet. So I don't care for them. Are you with me, my church? Do you realize the mentality of Christians today? Many a times we believe for a miracle for ourselves. We believe for a miracle for just us. And he say, I am a Jesus. I've served Jesus. I've followed Jesus all this while. You know, I prayed for this. I deserve this. But what about this 5,000? I don't know about them. They might have to walk away. They might have to go. Are you with me? We do that sometimes. I've done that in ministry. When I see a need, I try to ignore it. Because I thought if I'm going to face that need, I'm going to put my family on stake. If I'm going to do that, that's going to cost me a lot for my own self. That's going to burn me. I'm not going to do that. No. That's seeing people like trees. When God touches you again in your eyes and says, can you see it clearly? Then you start seeing clearly. Can I hear an amen, my church? When you start seeing clearly, it's beautiful, my church. It is just beautiful. You start seeing people for their heart. Can I hear an amen, my church? Give me an amen. I'm so scared. Don't be scared. God has given me this word. I am going to restore everything. God has given me this word. Do not be discouraged. Do not be broken. Because I love you. God said this to me. Hold her hands and tell her. I love her. God has given me this word. I'm going to build you back, my daughter. I'm going to build you back more powerfully than ever before. I'm going to do something significant in your life that, you know what? My glory will be so evident. God is saying this word. Do not look at the mess behind you. Just don't look at it.
God is saying, you're not defined by the mess, you're defined by my identity that I give you. And he says, you're precious to me. You are precious. He says, I made you fearfully and wonderfully. And he's saying, you matter to me. Every bit of you matters to God. And he says, I value you. I love you. I am concerned about you. God has given his word, I'm going to restore. I'm going to build you back beautifully. Like people will just see you and know you and they say, that's God. Nothing else. That's definitely God. Can I get a five? Come on, give me a good one. Another one. Amen. You know what? I always get a five from people when I hit the sweet spot. And I knew when I was prophesying to you, God just said, you know what? She just needed to hear that today. Because tonight, my daughter, you're not going to be picking on the stuff that's been bothering you. You're going to walk beyond them. And he said, what? That's over. That is over. And I'm not going to care about it. Because my God's got something much more beautiful than whatever the devil tries to mess it up. I want to remind you, our God is powerful than the schemes of the devil. Our God is powerful than any man in this world. Our God is powerful than any situation. Our God is powerful than any experience you had. Our God is powerful than any of the pain that you have met in your life. Our God is powerful than your physical condition. Our God is powerful than your mental condition. Our God is powerful than your genetic condition. Our God is powerful than where you're coming from. Our God is powerful than your cultural thoughts. Our God is powerful than anything that is stopping you from doing what God wants you to do. Today I'm telling you this word, go move beyond. You know, the next verse is even more beautiful. Neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. Are you with me, my church? After I got saved, I was a drug addict. I told you I got saved. And many people would come and call me and ask me, would you come and share a testimony in our church? Guess what? The Holy Spirit told me, don't go. I asked God, God, why are you stopping me from saying the testimony? And God said, sometimes you will be just stuck to that point, son. I said, what am I going to be stuck to? He said, if you end up just going and sharing the testimony, people would just want you to come on sharing the testimony alone. And you will be stuck to that cycle of your rest of your life, trying to go from one church to another, one place to another, trying to just tell your testimony, just accept every time will make it more exciting. God said, sit down and read my word. He said, sit down and let me work even more in you. Sit down and I will turn you even more powerful. Guess what I did? I started reading the Bible day in and day out. I used to read the Bible 8 hours of the night. Like all through the night, I would be sitting with the scripture. At one point, the Spirit of the Lord started releasing me. You know what? I did not speak about my testimony for 3 years. Unless it was very necessary. I ended up preaching the word. Because I realize the word of God is more powerful than the testimony I hold. Because many a times we try to define God by just that one thing. Many a times we think God can do something just that way. No, the more we become particular about one way that God can do things, you know, we start resisting many other ways that God could have done that thing. It's not my quote, it's Bill Johnson's. Are you with me, my church? And he said to him, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Are you with me? Because the blind man is familiar there. He said, don't go back to what you're familiar with. Do something what I led you into. Church, God is calling you tonight. Today. What's the time now? It's about noon. I have another service at 3 o'clock and I'm hungry. Close your eyes with me. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is saying this to me. I'm going to do something amazing and awesome in your life. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. God is saying this word, get excited. Get excited for the good things I'm bringing over your life. Get excited to step out in courage. Get excited to see the great things I'm going to do. God is saying, just be excited. Don't let any fear stop you. Don't let anything that tells you and defines you the otherwise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And God is saying, I got a different plan for you. My plan is more powerful than ever before. Thank you, Holy Spirit.